Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, action-packed show. We play the hypothetical red light, stoplight game, which I enjoy very much. I won't tell you how Matt fared, but not well. And we'll get in some diamond stitching. We'll talk about some racing. We'll get the Bubba Wallace thing caught up. All of it. First, Bet Online. No shortage of action at betonline.ag. Sports are slowly coming back. UFC, NASCAR, boxing, soccer. Bet Online has best odds and lines for upcoming games. Need more? Bet Online has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag. Use our promo code and use your mobile device with the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. And again, UFC's fun to put a few bucks on. It makes those fights really exciting, especially if there's two guys you don't care about. Put a little on a UFC fight. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Do it today.
Hey, hey, hey. This is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls. And guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a Beard Bro beard-shaping tool to tame that unruly corona facial hair, and a Chew face mask so you can silently protest how f***ing stupid all of this is. A 6-foot premium beer bong by beerbong.com, so you can slug back a few cold, endless rants when the world officially opens up again. And of course, a bottle of your choice. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening and sharing and telling a friend. It's CarCast, Matt Kroll. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world and in the world of cars. Mm-hmm. I got up this morning. I saw that as we tape this, tape it a little in advance of when you hear it, I saw that... my book was number 12 last week on the Amazon charts, and it's been out of stock on Amazon for the entire week.
So, yeah.
Not too shabby considering when you click on it, it says out of stock.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make you it's not alluring. You don't go, oh, out of stock, I'll buy that. Like,
yeah,
you kind of tend to want to come back when it's in stock. But I think people then buy the Kindle or the audio or whatever.
Yeah. But you're saying the audiobook is fun. It's different.
It's a lot of me talking and doing the book, and then there's a lot of me talking to Dawson, who's behind the glass.
So what do you recommend? Like, for somebody who wants the book, should get the audiobook, but then if they want to gift it to their friends, get the hard copy?
Well, in a way, you kind of have to get the hard copy, read that, and then listen to the audiobook, because it's got a lot of side.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different material in it. So get both. Of course, it's convenient for me to say that.
But, yeah.
And also, by the time you hear this, I hope that it's back in stock on Amazon. It's been long enough.
The audiobook is sort of the DVD commentary version. So you should read the book first, and then the audiobook is fun, going, well, what was he thinking here? What was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, all right. It'd be fun.
And it's good. Amazon has 33 million books. I found out. So number 12 last week. Not too shabby.
Good. Congratulations.
We'll see how that works. Also, Matt drove the Volvo. I got the I got the Porsche GT3 whatever up on its fired up on its jacks and the other garage. They're taking the wheels off. They're looking.
So the 2000 Porsche GT3 Paul Newman car.
Yeah,
it has the built-in like air jacks.
Right,
the four posts. And what do you hook up an airline?
I thought you hooked up an airline, but you need nitrogen.
Oh,
it needs 350 pounds. Evidently, so says Sean, who had the nitrogen tank hooked up to it. So
and it works.
Yeah.
It seems like one of the things that probably wouldn't work would be that. I don't know why. It just seems like...
It just seems like a seal would go on one of them.
Yeah.
And if the seal went on one of them, it would all bleed out through that one seal.
And it's always either because it's used too much or it sits too long, right? There's no happy medium. Like something like that would be the one thing.
Yeah.
Like, and if you said there was four posts and you'd be like, three of them work, I'd be like, exactly.
Right. And there's probably three posts. I think they're, you know, for weight.
Yeah.
I have cars with three posts. I think they try to do it to a two wide in the front, one in the back middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this one has the engine in the back, maybe this one would be reversed just for the sake of weight balance.
It's probably two in the back and one in the middle, or maybe it's four. I didn't get my head under there. But either way, we're popping the wheels off, checking the tires, and getting into that a little bit. Bringing the 510 home. The tail and blah, 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 and looking to get either one or both of those cars out on the track for whatever has replaced the Laguna Seca Monterey Historics. Mike August just did my least favorite thing that Mike August does, which is I hate it when someone's on a computer and I'm in my car and I know more than they know, but they're staring at a screen.
Yeah.
Mike August said, hey, we got a good offer to play San Antonio on August, you know, 8th and 9th or something. And I said, I think that's where they moved the Monterey Historics to. I think they moved it up a week. We're doing another race there. And he goes, I'm on the website right now. And it says 15-16 or whatever. So you could do San Antonio the weekend before. And I was like, oh, you're on the website? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it says on the website. And I'm like, yeah, I think they moved it from the 15-16 to whatever. He's like, I'm on the website.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. You know how many conversations I've had with people? They go, I'm on the website. I go, I'm in my car.
Yeah.
But
except
I'm telling you they moved it. And then he's like, no, it says here, historic, group 1A, group 2B, and 3C. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Mike, that's the old race. They moved it to, he's looking. Here it is, Private Drivers Appreciation Weekend, August 8th and 9th. And
I'm there like, you go.
Okay, took a while to get there, but that's what I said.
I see what you're doing, though, because you said moved it, and I would have said the same thing. But they canceled it and then did this other unofficial event. Right.
And I wasn't. Yeah, I probably could have been more precise.
But he was. It's funny. It is on the website at someplace, right? They're going, oh, we got this other weekend that we're doing.
I would argue that if you have a website.
Well, you're going to go to Texas in July, by the way. Why can't he get the...
We used to get into a lot of this stuff on my website, which is I would frequently find stand-up dates that had passed, you know,
yeah.
That were 2 weeks old and the dates would still be up, and I would constantly have conversations with people about, hey, once this thing happens and then we go past it, you have to get it off the website under live dates, because it looks kind of amateurish to have dates on there. If you have dates from the 14th and the 15th and it's the 29th, go ahead and move it. Get rid of it. It seems...
Looks stale, and it's confusing, because if
I see that... It's confusing and stale, and it's also, by the way, it looks like what it is. It looks like we have idiots running the website who don't give a shit. Do you know how many of those conversations I've had around here? Like, did you get the fucking dates off once we pass?
When I was merely an intern here, that was a conversation that I heard from Adam.
Wait, you get paid?
Many times. Now I do, yeah.
Oh. Oh,
but look, if I go to a comedian's website and I see dates that say... if it said May 23rd, I would think, is this last year? Is it this year? Is it next year? Like, I don't even know.
When
they're done, are they blocked out? Are they like X'd out? You know, like when you X out each day on the calendar, sold out, done.
We just don't want to confuse people.
Here's the sad part about my life. First off, no one should ever have to have this conversation with someone who's running their website.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have to have the conversation once, but I'd have this conversation seven times, which is the part I'd love, where I just go, you have to figure out a system where if I'm leaving for Detroit to do shows on the 13th, you must go to the website and get rid of those shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems pretty doable, doesn't it? Like, I'm not a computer expert, but anyway. So
you're always in your car.
If you've canceled an event, get it off the website, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about JB Weld, proud sponsor, CarCast, epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years. It's available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere. So we're getting those cars kind of prepped for the driver's appreciation race over there. Hopefully we can get some run groups going. Mike actually checked on Indy and Indy 500, that is, and that's still up there.
I spoke to Indy. I don't know if I had a chance to tell you, but I spoke to Indy, and they said that... Roger Penske still has every intention of doing the event. He's planning as if the event was happening because it's a huge undertaking. He's made upgrades to the facility, more bathrooms, but they still don't have a 100% guarantee.
Yep.
You know, because I don't know, things keep changing so quickly, but he wants to do it, wants fans there, wants a big event.
Yeah. Roger says that he's made it clear in recent interviews that it will only be happening if fans can be there. There's already been 175,000 tickets sold.
Really? Does Indianapolis have a mayor that's...
I can tell you this. He's very friendly with the local government. Everybody wants to make this happen. They're on board with him.
Well, are they Democrat or Republican? We can figure out if this is going to happen.
He's a Democrat.
Uh-oh. The mayor is.
Yeah.
All right. What about the governor?
We'll dig it up. Yeah. But it's such a huge event for them. And if you think about, here's the toss-up. It's like, can enough things be put in place that people will feel safe? And then...
Well, what is the science with this stuff? I mean,
again,
everyone's having rallies, and they're rallying in the street, and they're hanging out at the beach, and like they're outdoors, and it's August, and it's 105 degrees, and like, what is going on? I mean, shouldn't we? Oh, the governor's Republican. All right, well then it may happen. I read a tweet from AOC the other day where she's like, "Hey man, we got to shut this economy down until after the election.
Like, all right,
gotta,
so here's
her thing is like, we got to ruin the economy.
And my point about Indy 500 is all of these local businesses, big and small, the hotels, the restaurants, they're hanging on by a thread, trying to survive, going, hey, if I can make it to Indy 500, I might be able to just get enough business to make it through this year, the ones that are, you know, on that line.
Yeah.
And if you take this away, you know, how many, I don't know, from the coffee shops and the small businesses and the Uber drivers and everybody out there trying to make a buck, going, no Indy 500, I'm kind of done for the year.
Right. Well, the thing, oh God, AOC is such a witch. Ugh. She's so horrible because, by the way, I hate when anyone does this where they go, she'll go, we've got to shut this down. She removed her tweet, but we got to, Drew sent it to me. She's like, we got to shut down this economy till after the election. And then she goes, you know, if a couple businesses fail and a few people are out of work, it's a small price to pay for winning the election. It's like, well, listen, doofus. If it's a couple businesses go under and a couple people out of work, it doesn't shut down the economy.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is mass destruction of an economy, which a couple businesses go out of business every fucking day in this country, pandemic or not, and a couple of people go out of work. So you can't have it both ways. You can't go, we got to keep it shut down after the election, basically ruin the economy so we can win the election, and then go, hey, it's small price to pay a couple people out of work. No, no, sweetheart. You're fighting your own math.
Yeah.
And or, oh, hold on. Stupid or liar.
Yeah, that's
it. You're lying. Obviously, you're lying if that's what you think a couple of businesses. Anyway.
Well, I want to go to the
Indy 500. I hope she gets in a higher position of power so my kids can enjoy America. Jesus Christ. All right. So.
I want to go to the Indy 500, and I hope there's a buffet.
I think we're planning on going to Indy, and we got that working for us. So I'm going to start thinking about that. We got Rolex, or we got Monterey coming up. That's just going to be a fun run. And I've done versions of that. The rich white guy races was kind of fun. You just get out there on the track and have some fun. I did that race, well, the race, but that fun day. I had a guy in a Aston Martin V8 roll over at the corkscrew in that event. He was driving like a full prep Aston Martin V8 Vantage and he like somehow slid out of the corkscrew, slid down the hill a little, hit a wall sort of sideways and just sort of popped up and turned over. Like it was the least aggressive car flip ever, but he still had an upside down car
and
out
still,
there.
It does enough damage on all the sides that, you know, the car's in pretty bad shape. The driver was okay, fortunately, but you know, but you're right. As even just the one flip over, it's like, it's all screwed up now. Like you just keep hurting more and more sides of the vehicle and it's got to do a lot of work.
The total vindication. Well, not vindication, but my diamond stitching, man. I'm sorry. I'm not done with my diamond stitching. I bought a car on eBay. I bought a Lambo. It was a blue one. It was a 400, 2+2. It was a beautiful blue, that metallic midnight blue. God, what do they call that blue? I can't remember that. We know that blue. Anyway, we'll figure out that blue. But anyway, it's a Lamborghini color.
The Blue Note.
Blue Note. Blue Night. And the interior was like kind of tobacco brown beige, you know, and it's always weird to me. You can look at the Max Paddock took a picture one. Yeah. It's like that's not the exact car, but it's basically the car, which is you know, it's just like a beige. And so one day I had the car for 9 months or something. It bothered me. I kept looking at Lusos. I kept looking in at Ferrari Lusos, the old Lusos, 63, 64, and I kept seeing the diamond stitching along the transmission hump and everything. And so I just took it to upholstery shop and I said, make it a red interior and put diamonds.
Yeah.
Put diamonds where the transmission hump is, put diamonds, quilting.
The interior quarter panels.
Put the put the quarter panels in where you see the rear fenders, and most importantly, that huge acreage in the back.
The package tray.
The package tray was just one big pile. I don't know if you can kind of see it. We'll put the pictures up. The package tray, I told them, diamond it. Then I held the car another year or something, and I said to Matt, let's sell this car. I think that car set a record for that car that sold for the most any one of those 2+2s have ever sold for.
Yeah.
And then I said, look, it's a pretty car. It was it was a good market to sell the car. Looking at the old diamond. You know what, Max Pay, you got to find a package tray shot of that car, of those cars for later. Mine, we got. The stock one is kind of blown out. But anyway, we'll find it. Anyway, the point is this. I said, now it's time to sell a car. Car sold for a record. I said, I know the blue looked great, but the blue with the tan interior looked like shit.
Mm-hmm.
The blue with the red looked amazing. And the diamond stitching, I said, that's why we got the best price for this car. And then I said, why doesn't everyone just put diamond stitching in their car? It looks so good. Why is it just, look, Ferraris did it in the 50s and the 60s. Bentley, maybe Rolls was doing little bits and pieces of it, but I kept saying, it's cheap.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anymore.
That's why Nissan Rogue just announced has it. I love that it has that.
Why not do it? And then I told Max Zapata, start looking up those cheap cars. It's everywhere now.
Yeah.
But I was there 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Now it's everywhere. That's the beauty of the brain. People don't understand. They think, oh, but hey, Max Zapata.
Uh-huh.
The same guy... The same guy who was saying to, who wrote in 50 years we'll all be chicks and all that shit, that's the same brain who wants the diamond stitching everywhere. It's not a different part of my brain. When I used to talk to Drew about these companies who sold these painkillers and like everyone, he had patients that are on 90 pain pills a day, you know, and I'd say, well, it sounds like these drug companies are making money hand over fist. This is 1997.
Yeah.
He'd go, oh, they don't want that. They don't want that. I go, why not? They make drugs. You got a bunch of people fucking eating them like Skittles. Why don't they want it? And he'd go, they don't want that. Now they found out, oh, the drug companies they're all getting sued now because they were behind all that shit. Crystal brain. That's
it. We got it. Someday we need to recycle your brain, like in RoboCop or Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yes. If you think clearly, you will see things that happen before they happen. If you go to the Italiano concourse and you start looking at the Bizzarini and you start looking at the old Ferraris and you see the diamond stitching over the transmission tunnel and you go, shit, that looks good. And then you go over to the Lambo 350, 400, whatever, and you look at that big package tray in the back. It's just a sea of brown leather.
Yeah.
And you go, well, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And then you look back at the Bizzarini or you look back at the Ferrari and you go, why didn't they do that there?
Right.
And everyone goes, because they didn't do it. And then I go, well, what if I did it there? And they go, well, that wouldn't be how they did it. And I'd go, okay, just do it that way.
Right. Now, you also probably made a decision on that car, whether you recall it or not, is when you diamond stitched it and you wanted it to look good, someone said, no speaker grills either up there. I'm not going to listen to the radio or whatever is in there, right? Because I believe the brown picture probably had the speaker grills and it was very common. And we've seen a lot of the cars.
Well, that wasn't my car, but
And I think you had them in the – I think it has them in the doors. I think – if it had speaker in the door,
no.
This
one
is the
of
one
the,
we showed.
One of no. He's talking about the package tray. I think on the back. The decision I made was not to do the seats.
Right.
Diamond. I thought the transmission tunnel. I even went with a kind of a Mercedes kind of vented thing in my seats.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought transmission tunnel. Quarter panel sort of fender bumps and package tray would be enough diamond that the seats would kind of be a little overkill. I don't know if I made the right decision or not, but it seemed to balance.
Well, it does nicely. Because because then it doesn't look like it was a total custom job. It has the pleats that look and feel more original to the design because all the seats had those. So it looks like – it doesn't look like you did diamond stitching in the car. It looks like there could have been a trim model, period correct, that had the diamond.
Mm, yeah.
Right?
Speaking more to my genius. Well, I know it sounds stupid, but Max Bada, all the cheap cars that now have the diamond, which, you know, this is who knew this would be my adult life. Have you got to find pictures of these cars?
Okay, we'll put some up on the screen for this. Right now, you're looking at a Kia Optima.
Yep. Look how good it looks.
Yeah, it looks
great. You can't do too much. You got to have the right amount.
Right, but it's a Kia.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would just go. Like, my whole thing with Kia, or what's the next one? Sorry.
Okay, so this is a Nissan Sentra.
All right, so here, let me explain me. What I'd say to people
for the first time, damn it, do it.
Look, the Bentley we drove around last weekend, the weekend before, had a twin turbocharged V8, 4-cam, all-aluminum lump in front of it. That was good for 560 horsepower, and that engine is $81,000. You could buy three Sentras for the price of that engine. So yeah. I don't sit around and go, hey, Nissan, why don't you put a twin-blown engine in there, all-aluminum V8 for it? I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I look at the diamond stitching, and I go, well, that you can do.
Yeah.
And it looks so much better, right?
We have a couple more, too. This is a Hyundai Palisade.
Yeah, kind they got a little bit of texture. Right
there. Diamond texture. Doors, right.
And then this is the Nissan Murano.
Right. Yeah.
And then, of course, Adam, you're driving that Infiniti QX.
Yeah, the time. Q.
I literally had the guy at Carney's Hot Dogs come out, hand me hot dogs, and look in my window and go, I like those seats. How often does diamond stitching look?
It looks fantastic. Yeah,
you went to
Carney's
totally
right.
Hot Dogs?
12 goddamn years ago. 12 years ago.
Adam, I'm waiting for in 10 more years, I'm not going to see a corner. Everything is going to be dog-eared.
That's true. How come when you go to Pep Boys and you buy like the seat covers, they don't just offer like the strap-on Uber driver seat cover put in diamond stitch?
Oh, they're good. You know.
Is that out there? That must be out there.
You know, it's coming, man.
It'd be the only seat cover that looks good.
And so there was that. Also, it's funny, I was watching Mercedes has a new mini SUV.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I hate it. I love John Hamm, but I hate when they go, it's the G-Class Mini. But it's like, the first G-Class Mini. Like, yeah, I know it's the first.
Yeah.
I mean, you just introduced it.
Yeah.
You made a new car.
Yeah.
You don't have to say first.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the episode. Nah, that's not the car. It's like when they go tonight on an all new hack. All new.
Yeah. It's funny because the car companies are doing that new. The all new F-150, the all new Mach 1. Like, you could just tell me 2021, right? Because.
Right.
Because wasn't everything all new at one point? Like, tell me.
Yeah.
What year car are we talking about here?
I yelled at someone today because I didn't yell at them, but I always laugh where I went to the other shop and I went, where's Roberto? And somebody went, he's at the hardware store buying stuff. I went, yeah. Okay, you had me at hardware store.
You need to go there to pee.
Yeah, it was it's the all new GL something.
Is it the G-Class SUV?
But there's like a GLE and a GLC.
It's brand new and it's miniature.
Oh, what's the smallest?
It's like a $32,000 Mercedes mini SUV, which is.
I guess you could just, I don't know. Can you Google John Hamm commercial?
No, it's just it's whatever the newest miniest. It's if it's over 40 grand, if it's over 45 grand, it's not what I'm talking about. It's the GL. G Gleb or something. It's got somewhere like Gleb. All right. Hit Geico.
Geico. Though we're apart these days, we are sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks for that. Thanks for sharing all your cool videos and your posts and social media stuff and your car photos and dog photos and burnout videos. Now it's Geico's turn to share as well. Geico is offering the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico is committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts the full policy term. So just go to geico.com/giveback for more info. That's geico.com/giveback for more information.
It's GLB. Yeah.
GLB?
The all-new GLB.
No, that one I haven't heard of. I guess because it's all new.
Yeah, but it's GL.
What does a GLB look like?
It's the small. It's a 30. It looks like a $33,000 Mercedes is what it looks like to me.
Yeah,
it's a miniature Mercedes. Well. And I, by the way, when I don't know what it's stickers for, 37.5 or what's the base price on the GLB?
It's not bad looking.
No,
I mean, everything when you Mercedes, see it in person, it's what it's like the Fiat 500 four door thing.
Here's the deal. It's like chicks on the internet, you know. They look pretty good, and sometimes you get up on them, and it's like, it's just a lot smaller than I thought. Yeah, it's 36,000 is the base, so it's a cheap Mercedes,
right? Didn't they tried it with that little hatchback, that little bubbly hatchback? It didn't bode well. And BMW did a little tiny.
My kind of thing is it's you know, when I was a kid. If somebody drove a Mercedes Benz, like that guy was a winner. You know what I mean? Like, and they'd be in songs, you know, talking about Janis Joplin. You know, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? She wasn't talking about the GLB. But what I'm saying is, it's like a brand. It's an interesting thing when brands dip into this world where it's like a loaded Nissan Pathfinder is more than a Mercedes GLB that's stripped. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now we're into some weird thing because, like, well, is it a Mercedes? Like, where's the luster and allure of the Mercedes if, in fact, it's cheap?
And they're pushing their cars, they're nice cars, they're flagship S class. They're pushing that higher, more luxurious, and more expensive. So it is interesting that one brand is trying to fill the entire void of 36,000 up to, I don't know what, 250,000?
It seems. Right.
Whereas, you know, like you have a Ford Explorer, but then you have a Lincoln Aviator, right? Do you do a different brand.
We got the commercial. It's by the way, one of these empowering your daughter commercials that always drives me nuts.
It's titled Curious Girl.
Everything is all the. Everyone is woke now. Daughter's going to be such an obnoxious bitch when she's 23. I feel so sorry for. She's hyperactive, by the way.
Yeah.
And full of herself. She's going to be an astronaut. Check the diamonds. A lot of diamonds.
The first ever.
I sit home at night. I'm like, diamonds ditching. Diamonds ditching.
Where's my pad?
Down.
Write
Where's
that
my
down.
Pad? Right, Lynette, get in here. There's diamonds. Yes, that's me.
Good thing you don't text.
No, I don't.
Everyone's phone would be blowing up. Diamond. Did you see that commercial? I'm in bed. Wake up. Put that commercial back on.
Diamonds
ditching. Diamonds ditching everywhere.
It's all I get out of the commercial. And also, I know John Hamm, so I'm always hear his voice, you know.
Yeah.
But we drove around all weekend in the new Volvo.
Yeah.
Volvo has finally got their styling in order. Outside the car looks good. Inside the car looks good.
They look good.
Yeah.
They do look good.
You know what? You know what they finally figured out? There's a ratio between kind of slabby and curvy. There's a kind of a little ratio. And Volvo was always just too slabby in the past. Like their look was boxy.
Yeah.
And then there's the, you know, 1989 Ford Probe or something. And it like that was too bar soapy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what Volvo did is they finally struck that balance between having some curves and some radiuses and also being a little bit aggressive and looking a little tough.
The designers are smart because they can trick you on it works, but when you do like the slim light or the slim bar that's just like an LED bar for a driving light, and now it gives it a sleekness to it. And if you give it a little curve and you, and but you put it on a fender that is a little boxy, right? But it gives it a curvy line, something kind of sleek looking into it. And it's good. I think it's interesting because somebody else commented, I posted some pictures on social media, and somebody said, all the Volvos look good now.
Yeah, look good.
And they do. And they're getting the proportions right for the different size of vehicles. We drove, I want to say it's a mid-size SUV, but it's compact. You know, it's two row. It's good
size. The one we drove?
Yeah, we drove. No. The XC60. Oh, was that the,
we were in an SUV?
Yeah.
Jesus. I looked at it as a sedan. Didn't seem that SUV.
I'm going to get the wagon. I'm going to get a wagon as well on my list.
What was the
wagon.
Volvo where that guy with the beard, that pussy, was writing a letter to his daughter and crying by a lighthouse?
Yeah,
by
I think way, that was the big SUV.
Max Spada, if you ever see me alone by a lighthouse writing a letter to Natalia and crying in my Volvo, just fucking blow the car up. Put me out of my misery. Could you please?
I got it.
Please take care of it.
Yeah, this guy.
play. Every car commercial's turned into either a guy with an obnoxious 9-year-old girl who's got to do everything for her, or another guy's going to write a letter to his fucking
still
daughter.
Not ready.
Not ready.
Not ready. It's a good looking SUV, though.
XC90.
The reason
I'm telling you this is that there will be moments in your life that you'll never be ready for. Your little girl getting married being one of them.
Put the defogger on the window. He's fogging up. He's not ready.
Roll the windows down.
Yeah.
I like the car.
Where's the Volvo commercial where you walk in on your daughter and she's with three dudes and then you go out and you hook up a garden hose to the tailpipe and you kill yourself in the garage? Is that?
Yeah, I feel your letter is going to be a lot different than his.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, what's he writing versus what you're writing in that letter? Yeah.
You know what I always picture? I always picture these dumb actors sitting at home in their apartment doing it, running lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they have their roommate has the fucking script and he's sitting there on a folding chair like in his living room. He's pretending there's a steering wheel in front of him. And he's like, shit. Ted, what's the line? Ready.
Ready.
Okay, let me try it again. Never ready. Never ready to have your daughter leave. Oh, shit. Ted, you're never ready to have your daughter get married. Okay, let's try it again. Ted, tell me if this is like too much. I don't want to tear up or make it too heavy. I want to strike a balance. You know what I mean? I want it to be kind of, I'm contemplating, but there's some pathos in here, but it's not a bad day. It's also a day of celebration. All right. So let's just try this. Shit. Ted, line? Never. Okay. You're never.
Ready.
You're never ready.
One more time.
You're never ready. Have your daughter sitting on a folding chair in a shitty apartment in West Hollywood, his fucking roommate. And then it's like, and then his buddy's going, his roommate's going, I got an audition in half an hour, so you're going to be on your own in a second. I hope you get off script. And then he's like, does it say, his roommate's like, it doesn't say Volvo anywhere in this ad. No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the new thing. I'm crying and talking about my daughter. Mm-hmm. But it's a Volvo commercial, right? Yeah. But why does it say Volvo in the script? I don't know. I just got to go run this tomorrow. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you're right. Like, they got to gauge how sad or serious is the never ready for marriage. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it never ready for your daughter lost both her legs in a terrible accident? Or never ready for walking her down the aisle for marriage, like, because like, I feel like that you can get ready for.
And then Ted, his roommate, the actor's roommate's like, are you having trouble like getting in touch with this feeling because you're gay and you don't have kids? Yeah, well, they don't know I'm gay.
Yeah,
in their world, I'm the dad.
Should it say it in the script? Should it say gay in the script?
I think it should say Volvo in the script, but I don't know. But they'll play some music underneath it.
Yeah.
And we won't show the car. All right. You want to do some, let's see, want to play the road trip game? Do we have that? Let's do it. Hypothetical. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
The Hypothetical Stoplight Game, brought to you by J.B. Weld.
Well, I'm in such a hurry tonight, but I'm gonna have to stop at this light. On the left, I got a van with big wheels. On the right, I got a pickup in teal. Van to the left of me, teal truck to the right. Here I am, stuck at a light behind you.
All right. Hypothetical right. Stop like a Matt.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You notice a crack on your windshield.
Oh, it's like Arizona.
And if you don't repair that thing, you know, it just gets bigger.
Mm-hmm. The phoniest commercials on the in the world are the Safe Flight repairs.
Like, they're so happy. Like, the guys are all clean and uniforms are pressed.
A couple of chicks pull up to like a Cape Cod kind of place to have brunch, you know. The black friend notices there's a crack in the window. What? Like, you got to cancel the road trip because there's a chip in your glass. And then they go, okay. And then at some point they're done having their mimosas and they come out. And it's like, it's been repaired.
What?
And then there's a guy there with his shirt tucked in and like, okay, how much do I owe? And they start pulling out a wad of cash. No charge. Nope. No charge. What kind of business model is this, by the way? Just, you show up, you follow people around the country, you just show up and fix their shit. Like, I'm sorry, no money necessary.
We don't want your $400 cash for the windshield that we're going to bill out to your insurance company for $1,600.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like I would have that same satisfaction. I feel like if I was playing a comedy club like Irvine and I had a chip in my windshield, first off, I'd wait till I got fucking home to have it fixed. I would say, hey, come out to Irvine. Yeah. I'm going to do a 45-minute set. I want that shit fixed.
That's it.
I'd be like, I'm going to go home.
And don't ask me for money when I'm done.
Right. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Matt, you're on a road trip with your friends, and you notice a crack in the windshield. And, of course, it's going to get bigger if you don't repair it. So you think, okay, I'm going to go Home Depot, grab some JB Weld, because with JB Weld, you can actually repair your windshield. There's 10-step instructions on their website.
Wow.
So, exactly. So, you're going to pull up to a stoplight. You have to choose between two lanes. Which lane gets you to JB Weld faster? Adam knows the answer. Let's see if Matt does.
Mm-hmm.
So, first round. There are two Priuses.
Ugh.
I know. The first one has the guy wearing his face mask, but he's alone.
Yeah.
The second one has a guy... he's hanging his face mask off of one ear like a fighter pilot.
Oh.
But baby in the back seat, which car do you get behind?
Oh, man. I the guy with the half face mask, I feel like he's channeling his inner, is it Slider? Is it Goose? There's so many good ones.
Iceman.
So much. Iceman? Yeah. And it, when you watch that movie, by the way, every time they do a move, they pop the mask off so they can talk.
Right.
And then they put the mask back on. Otherwise, why pay that much for the actor, I guess? Right. I don't know why.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna go behind the half face mask guy because he's less stressed. He doesn't think he's going to die.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Oh.
Yeah, well, he's got his infant in the back, and so he's constantly doing that move where he cranes over, and meanwhile, he doesn't see the light has changed. So his kid's behind him in the child seat, and he's doing that move where it's like, hey, little Billy, and he's turning around, and the kid drops his granola bar or whatever it is. Meanwhile, light's been green for 10 minutes now.
Do you think he doesn't wear the mask so the kid can recognize him? Like for Halloween, you put the...
I'm not here to speculate.
Put the mask on, then your dog gets mad at you.
I can't answer
we
that.
Don't know,
we don't know. I know the answers, but I'm not here to I'm not here to speculate. I can't speak for him.
Yeah.
But yes, Adam is right.
He's distracted. Yeah,
the guy wearing the face mask alone will get
to scold the kid. He's going to, don't eat Cheerios
he's
in the back.
Turning around.
Let's try another one. Let's try another round.
What are you doing?
You could pull up either behind a Honda Civic hatchback, but it has a broken diffuser behind it.
Is it Kalen?
Mud flaps, and has a custom blacked out emblem.
Oh, okay.
Or you get behind the Audi A7. Blonde businesswoman, drinking the unicorn frappuccino from Starbucks.
Does the Honda hatchback have a diffuser?
Well, let's say he added it.
Yeah,
he must have added
a diffuser.
I mean, okay. Why wouldn't you?
He had a diffuser and mud flap.
That's right. Kalen wrote that one. That's
not funny. I saw this car on the road the other day.
You saw this car? A diffuser and mud flaps?
A broken diffuser. Half of it was coming off of the car. And mud flaps.
Wow.
Yeah.
And mud flaps. A lot of range.
Listen.
Definitely not a Jew.
When you're hitting the rally course and you need to get back on the pavement,
yeah.
It's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's murdered out.
Well, the emblem.
Just the emblem is murdered out. Emblem. I assume that the plastic coating, whatever. What's the plastic paint? Plasti dip kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure part of it's peeling off the logo. So there's like a little bit of Chrome Civic coming underneath it. The rest is black.
Seen it,
Yeah. I get behind the Honda Civic. That guy's got his channeling his inner Dom Toretto.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That one's not right. And I'll tell you why. That guy has seen you, and he's seen you, and you're driving the Chevy Bolt.
Yeah, Chevy Bolt.
Yeah. Well, that guy
whoop up on that Civic.
He's got the wink mirror in that car. So he's got like all the little mirrors, and he sees you clearly, and he sees you driving an electric car. That guy doesn't like electric cars. That guy's passive aggressive. By the mud flaps and the diffuser, he's telling you he's an enthusiast of the internal combustion style engine.
He's trying to punish me.
So even though that guy sees the light change, he still counts the three Mississippi before he goes. It's sort of he's a young guy. He's angry. He's on his way to a Black Lives Matter rally. He looks at you as a Rich Whitey in your electric car, and he's going to make you pay.
In my Bolt?
That's right.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
I don't know. He should be mad at his dad, not me.
All right.
Adam's right. The A7 takes the win.
Sorry.
All right, last round.
I do like the A7.
Yeah, it's nice.
I should have followed the hot blonde.
Yeah, with the but the unicorn frappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, last round. You can get behind. I know Adam doesn't like this guy. Motorcycle speaker guy.
Oh,
blasting. Yeah. Blasting his speakers, everybody around can hear. He's playing this.
Oh, I like. Yeah, we're talking about me. I love this song. This is a great song.
We talk about your work, how your boss is a jerk. We talk about your church and your head when it hurts. We talk about the troubles you're
We're not getting off this song until we get to the chorus.
We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the temples on your chin. The
look, we don't like this guy, but if he's playing this, God knows I don't think Adam's complaining.
He yodels and he like yodels in this song.
Every once in a while, I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one, oh my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what
I love a song that's funny.
Talk about you usually, but occasionally. I want to talk about me.
We're behind that guy, motorcycle speaker guy, or the Range Rover filled with the teen girls. But they're blasting this.
Oh, we love this song.
So Matt, which car are you getting behind?
First of all, this is fantastic. Everybody's having a good time at the stoplight.
Right.
Everybody's having a good time at the stoplight.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Are the girls singing to the song, or is the guy on the bike singing with the song? Is there any sing-alongs happening? We don't know.
We don't have that information.
All right. We don't know what kind of Range Rover either, huh?
No, just Range Rover.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say, let's get behind the guy with the bike. He's excited. He's having fun. And the acceleration of those things is just notably going to be a little bit quicker. Plus, you can get around him quicker, because as soon as he's in front, you can get around. I don't know. I don't know how I'm wrong on this one.
No, you're not wrong, but you're wrong on this one, because the guy on the bike is cranking it up, and that guy's going to throw. He's going to do a move where he tosses a few revs out, because that guy's got the baffles out of the hog, you know. And his whole thing is he wants to talk about me. You know what I mean? Like, he wants everyone to look at him. That guy's a narcissist. That's his theme song.
He's going to pause for some attention.
He's going to pause and toss a couple of revs before he goes anywhere. The chicks with the land. What was it?
The Range Rover.
Range Rover.
We don't know which
one. She's just on it. This guy's going to toss a couple revs to let everyone know that his highness is departing.
Yeah.
But it's okay. You get to hear the Toby Keith song. So it's not a total loss. That's right. We talk
about the trouble. Yeah, that's right. So Adam is right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Once again, so sorry, Matt, next time. But either way, make sure to check out JB Weld. And that'll do for the hypothetical stoplight game.
Yeah.
Do we have an outro? Oh, there we do.
Here I am, stuck in a light behind you. Stuck in a light behind you. Here I am, stuck in a light behind you.
Well,
brought to you by JB Weld.
Yeah, we're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. And by the way, you can get all the JB Weld stuff at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Yeah, sorry. Bad run.
I just passed a couple of days ago the 90s boxy F series truck, the 250 four-door teal. So kind of lifted, you know, Super Duty.
Super Duty with the handle, like the grab handle on the outside to get up into the rear cab.
A little older than that. This is the 90s, very boxy style teal.
No, and I know the boxy 90s.
It's the teal that you love. This isn't like 93 Cobra teal, which has a little blue, you know, it's got hints of blue. This is the green teal.
Ugh.
Yeah. It is that truck. It is that truck that you're talking about.
How is history going to judge all these sort of clay-colored cars now? Like this weird clay-colored.
Like the non-metallic. They've got the non-metallic, like Porsche gray. But I saw it on the Kia Stinger.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I've seen it on a few Audis are sporting that color. It looks good now, but are we going to judge it? Look, if you've been around long enough, you walk into any house that still has a kitchen that was remodeled from the early 70s, and it's full avocado appliances and burnt orange cabinets, and it's like, ugh. But at the time, it was all the fucking rage, right?
Avocado.
So what is it? Are we going to be? And I'll go all the way back to diamond stitching. Like, are we going to go? Oh, diamond stitching. Oh, you bought the car in that era.
Yeah,
when everyone was.
Yeah,
doing
when
it.
Then when yeah when every Nissan had diamond stitching.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
My thing is
I don't know. The diamond stitching goes back quite a ways now, and I know people are just starting to catch on. You know why it won't get ruined is. Because you got to do it tastefully. You can't do everything in the diamond stitch. Don't get crazy with the diamond stitch.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But yes, I think some of these cars that have sort of the non-metallic, like the clay color, the gray, it's going to be interesting on some vehicles. Some of the vehicles that have like a lot of the plastic cladding and you know, like the Toyota, the Tacomas that are running around in the gray, that might be okay.
Yeah.
But when you do look at something like the Stinger, is the Stinger going to be better in a red?
You know, you can't go wrong with silver. All right, last but not least, Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace.
I can figure out that story. He's kind of sticking with his story. I'm trying to think of, obviously, it's a pull handle for the roll-up door. I have roll-up doors. There's usually just a big knot at the bottom of it to grab, but a loop wouldn't hurt either.
Right.
But then there's a loop, and then there's a noose. And my question is a noose can look different than a than a loop, but also noose has an action to it, which is if you grabbed it, it would slide down on your hand.
Yeah.
So I don't think it had that action to it. But then was it wrapped at the top like a noose, like above the hoop?
I mean, what's the real question here? The question is, in my mind, so Bubba Wallace goes into the paddock. You know, he goes into the garage, parks the car, sees this thing. Or one of his teammates sees the thing. I assume somebody photographed it. I haven't seen it, but photographs it, files a complaint, but then gets very big and vocal about all this. It's a terrible thing if the thing was intentional, like he assumed it was. So I don't think Bubba Wallace did anything wrong. I think everybody stood behind him.
Here's a question. If he saw it, and his teammates saw it, and I don't know how the new world works, why would you not put the picture of it out there?
Yeah,
as you're telling the story, why? What's the motivation for no picture?
Right.
Because in my world, if you put the picture out there immediately at the top of the story, people go, oh, "That's a grab handle for a sliding door, for a roll up door."
Right.
Right. So why no picture? Look. I'm looking at Max Pat. I don't know why. If that thing was a noose, like an old-timey Western rope, and it was just hanging from the rafters
in the middle of the hood of the car,
would the picture be out there?
Oh, instantly.
In advance of the story? Or as the story's being told?
Yeah, of course.
Well, then why'd it take 4 days to get a picture?
I can't answer that.
Okay, so let's say he goes in. He assumes this was intentional. It was meant to be offensive and racist, and he's got a lot to say about it. I'm on board with all of that. But like you're saying, do you walk in and go, am I crazy or is this a noose? Did somebody hang this here? Hey, you on my team, what is this? What's going on here?
So wouldn't you go, how long has this been here? Like, is this here when we pulled up? And how do they know we had this stall?
And then maybe you say, you know what? Where's the NASCAR officials and go, what is this? A joke? What's going on here? Is somebody
right?
Like, what are we doing here? And NASCAR says, you're absolutely right. We need to look into this. This is terrible. We need to look into this. Do you wait for them to look into it and come up with some result? In this case, the result is it wasn't intentional. It's been there for a year or whatever.
Well, also
or do you just run to get on The View?
it's not that thing looked like a noose. It's that he didn't follow it up. He just ran right to The View. I blame him for that, because I think he could have done some math. Well, and it had a context as a poll. I haven't heard. Now, the pictures of it they're showing, Max Zapata, did the FBI like cut it off and take it with them or something?
Oh, no.
Sorry, we can't hear you.
Lost you.
The pictures that you see are actually from November of 2019. That's the only pictures that we're seeing.
Oh, 2019. And it was tied in a loop on 2019.
Okay. So, right. But I get it. It's there, and I can see he can walk in and be like, "What's going on here? This is."
Yeah, I'm saying if it's attached to a rolling door, there's a context to it. Here would be my question: is this standard procedure for those doors, or do all of them have knots? And it still doesn't. But they still didn't know he was going to use that stall,
right?
So it can kind of be both. It can kind of just be a guy going, I'm going to make mine look like a noose, which, by the way, doesn't necessarily have racial overtones. I've worked with guys in the back. You know, we all tie their extension cord up, looks like a noose, just as a goof. You know what I mean? Just like not. Look, there's been plenty of white dudes have been hung as well. It's not a thing where it's like it has a lot of significance now.
Yeah.
But in the past, there's goofball guys who just do it just as a goof.
Yeah. But I just think that if you're going to go make a stink about it, Like, are we getting too far?
Of course. You should have investigated. No, look.
Far into this guilty until proven innocent culture.
You said a noose hanging in your whatever. You didn't say it was attached to a roll-up door and used to pull the roll-up doors up and down.
Yeah, the reports were there was a noose in his garage.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. He knew what he was doing. And he unreasonably drew attention to himself. Yeah. And he knew what he was doing. Come on. That's fucking weak sauce.
It just
you
seems
know what
a
you're
little,
doing.
Seems a little.
Or give it a context. I mean, just go, there seemed to be a noose hanging in my garage. And then you can go, now, it was attached to the roll-up door. And some people could look at it as a loop handle. But I don't think so.
How can
or
we
give
have,
it something.
How can we have photos and video of everything on the planet?
Bubba went on CNN last night as we record this, and he says, his quote is, "The image that I have and I've seen of what was hanging in my garage is not a garage pull. I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pulls like that. It was a noose. Whether tied in 2019 or whatever, it was a noose. So it wasn't directed at me, but somebody tied a noose. That's what I'm saying."
Okay, right. But
that could be true, but then it's not directed at you, so.
Right, which was the whole story.
Which is how you pitched it.
Right. So now, a few minutes ago, he praised the FBI and NASCAR and says, we'll gladly take a little embarrassment over what the alternatives could have been.
Right.
What
I just don't think
the alternative.
I don't think you get to glaze over the fact that it was done in November or October last year. I don't think you get to go whether it was intentional or not, whether it was done in 2019 or not, because the whole thing was, is it directed at him or not?
Yes.
Right. You don't get
well,
to glaze
as the only
over
black
it.
Driver, of course. Yeah. All right. We're nutty land. I'm sorry. This is on him. He should have handled this differently. There's no doubt about it. Look, it's not a full Jussie Smollett, but this is him drawing attention to himself without vetting this. Right. He should have vetted this.
But what a beautiful gesture.
Don't get me wrong. Like, everybody at NASCAR stepped up, the teams, the drivers, everybody was there. It was lovely.
We're just out of racism in this country. I've been saying it for years. you know you're out of it when you got to start manufacturing it. All right, Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John's summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. I'm wearing mine right now. I wear them, man. I hit that rowing machine. I work up a sweat. I wear my Tommy John t-shirt, underwear, and I get wet, man. I get sweaty. And then I just walk around the house, and it just, like, air dries. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. And the next day, I put them back on, give a little shot of talc, hit the roads. We're wearing them right now, man. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. The stuff is the best. Yeah, upgrade. And I'm telling you, you'll never go back to what you're wearing if you upgrade to Tommy John. No adjustment needed, right, Matt?
Right. Tommy John. For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/carcast to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/carcast for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/carcast. See the site for details.
All right. Tempe Improv coming up this weekend, right? This coming
a week
weekend
from today,
or
yeah.
Next weekend. Friday, Saturday, that's July 3rd and 4th, doing live podcasts and stand-up there. And I'm your emotional support animal, man. Mm-hmm. Keep that book going. People are loving that. Go to Amazon. Should be all replenished there. And get it. Get it all. Get the audiobook on Audible and wherever you find fine Audible books. And Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, you can see the cars and stuff we've been driving, the Volvo and the Bolt and all that stuff. Follow me at Motorator on social media.
So, until next time, Sandal Curl from Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Let me me tell you guys about Geico. Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your dance moves, your DIY haircut fails, and your inner lip sync star. Now it's Geico's turn to share as well with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info. That's geico.com/giveback.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.